Okay. So, Shishi of Gracious, and there are different ways to measure it, but we'll be working from our system from last year that Shishi is the beginning of Parakei, Parakei Pasuk Aleph, and there is quite a bit to say about this Aliyah, some of it very mysterious, some of it very broad. And it begins with the opening Pasuk, which is very, very sweeping in a sense. Quite dramatically so. The first pasuk of this Aliyah begins, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. This is the book of the history of man. This is the book of the generations of man. Yom Baro Elokim Adam, Vidmos Elokim Asa Oso. On the day that God created man, he created him in his image. So I guess you can probably intuit there is a lot that is conveyed in these words. These words are very sweeping, and indeed there's a lot that's said about them on many different levels. So just to spend a few minutes talking about the various themes that you find here, the Sefer Toldos Adam, the Ramban writes here that this is really a remez to the entire Torah, not just the psukim that are about to follow, but the entire Torah is Toldos Adam, is the history, is the story of mankind, and it's all being transition now with that pasuk, essentially saying that this parsha, the story of creation, this is all the introduction to that, and now as we near the end of this parsha, we're saying, okay, the whole rest of the Torah is Toldos Adam. And the Vilna Gaon understood as well that in every generation, at any given time, there are parallels to everything in the Torah, and that's what's conveyed here. Avraham Shneifel Hirsch has a comment over here where he notes that this is very similar to the statement Toldos Hashamayim Ha'aretz, and that there the point is that every phenomenon on earth is an outgrowth of that original creation. God created the world and put it into place, and everything that happens there flows from that. And so here too, the point of this statement is that all the phenomena that occur in mankind are natural outgrowths of Adam's creation, specifically the idea of free will, that everyone has the potential to go up and to go down. The Aznayim Latorah, the Litzkarav, notes that this is the beginning of the story of man, and the notion that's conveyed is that man's creation is uniquely complex. Until now, we talk about other aspects of the world. Okay, we could just say, God created this, God created that. But humanity has its own multitudes within it, its own complexity that transcends everything else. And therefore, we're now saying, this is just the beginning of the story. Everything is going to flow from here. There is a statement in Chazal, which appears in different forms. Among them, it's the Gemara in the beginning of the Sefer Avodah Zarah, the Peyam Aleph, where the suggestion is, Sefer Toldos Adam is a literal book, that there is a book that was shown to Adam. It wasn't written by Adam, but it was Adam associated. It was shown to Adam by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the book, according to one version of Chazal, is the history of all the leaders of the Jewish people. Zedor Vidarshav, this is every generation, and its Torah scholars, founders and its leaders, and that seems to be the thrust of it. In some of the other midrashim, you find that he not only showed the good guys, he showed the bad guys too. And the Litzkarav and Ayin Latorah writes that this was God's way of saying to Adam that there are all kinds of people that are going to come from you when you're going to start off kicking off humanity. Now there are going to be all kinds of people, good and bad. And what do you hold? You still want to be created? You still want to go down this route? And Adam said yes. But the more common version is that you find it's a focus specifically on the leadership, on the good people in the generation. And you could understand it's a way of saying that there always will be leadership. It's basically a promise that there always will be those to direct the world. Schefter in his Shurim on Torah Shabbat Peh connects this to the whole idea that there is divine involvement in the development of halacha, that the halacha is guided by Heshkafa Pratis, And that's what's being conveyed here, that God is saying, here is a sefer telling you in advance who all the leaders will be, who all the scholars of the generations will be. And essentially, it's to convey this point that God is involved in this process, and that even though human beings are going to actually carry it out, but there is a divine perspective in how to make this happen, and that's being transmitted here. So, for example, the Gemara Bava Metzia and Daf Pei Hei, where the Gemara says that Rav and Shmuel both wanted to get smicha, and it worked out that only Rav got smicha and Shmuel didn't. And this apparently was also already revealed in this Sefer Shaladim Arishon, which is apparently a reference to this statement in Chazal, the Gemara and the Barazara and the Midrashim, that there was this book that was already shown to Adam HaRishon, telling him who all the leaders would be. And again, it perhaps is meant to convey that there is a certain hashgacha as far as how halacha unfolds and how it develops. There is another great significance to this pasuk. Yes?
Just from before, Rav Schechter's shirim on
Parashat Shabbat.
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, well, God willing, you'll find them in written form in a few months. Right now, it's hard to find. I mean, you can find some of them while you tour. But hopefully soon you'll be able to read them in written form.
The author,
stay tuned. Sorry?
The author, editor, got it back
together. Well, you have to see. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff to do. But God willing, stay tuned. So, in any event, but there will be a discussion of that. And there's much else in the plastic as well. So, for example, this pasuk is quoted by Ben Hazai in Yerushalmi Nedarim, in the ninth parak of Nedarim. Yerushalmi has a line, the first part is much more well known, that Rabbi Akiva says that the klal gadol b'Torah is v'yahav t'l'reacha kamocha. And then Ben Hazai responds, I got a better one. I got a klal that's even greater than that, and what is that? Zeh sefer toldos adam. This is apparently a klal that is more substantive than the Ahasuerus and the Gemara. So it's a good question, what exactly is the machlokas there? So many svarim suggest that it's simply more inclusive, that the Ahasuerus and Gemara is a machlokas, but for the most part is understood as Avos Yisrael, the idea that we have a special love for fellow Jews. Which doesn't mean that we have hatred for non-Jews, God forbid. It means that there's a particular focus on love for the Jewish people. And we know, to get a little synergy here, that we have a sliding scale in general when it comes to V'ahav L'Reacha Kamocha, because it's applied with greater and greater focus the closer you get. Because our Gemara, in the second paragraph of Kiddushin, will tell us that V'ahav L'Reacha Kamocha is the source for the obligation to love your wife. Meaning that the same mitzvah that tells you to love everyone else is the mitzvah of loving your wife. So you see that it doesn't have a static manifestation, but it shifts. But perhaps the pasuk of Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam is more inclusive because it clearly is a reference to all of humanity. It's created the Tzadon Elokim. And therefore, that's what Ben Hazai comes and tells you, okay, if you have to learn the Kamocha, that's great, but that is limited. And I would want to focus more on the idea that all of humanity is created with Tzadon Elokim. There are other interpretations of this machlokas. So, for example, the Torah Tanina writes that V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is a great principle again, but it's limited because you only see things through your perspective. So you think, okay, I should do for others what I want them to do for me. Well, what if I don't want them to do this? Then I don't have to do it for them. I think I probably mentioned here in the past that when I was in the yeshiva in Karen Biavna, I saw some graffiti on the wall, unique type of yeshivish graffiti, where somebody had made a sign about a Shabbos Aved or something like that, and wrote under it, V'ahav L'Reacha Kamocha, love your friend as yourself, and somebody put some graffiti under that saying, I hate myself. And somebody wrote some graffiti after, under that, saying, the Kutzke Rebbe says, V'ahav L'Reacha Kamocha means you should love your fellow as much as you hate yourself. So whatever that means, it's for a different discussion. But the point that it raises is that, oh, okay, so tell me to do for others what I would want to do for myself, but what if I don't want to do so much for myself? So maybe I'm butler from acting for others. The Torah Tzvi says that's why Ben Azai comes and says, okay, even if you're not so machpin on your own kavod, but here this is a reference to the kavod of everyone. Everyone is created with tzelem elokim, and it doesn't matter whether you think this is something you would want for yourself or not. Hi.
Where's the command of this pasuk? Like, it seems like it's this is just fact. While the Avodah Zarah is like you need to do this.
Oh, so the answer is that it's basically reflecting a self-evident reality. You're saying that if everyone was created in the image of God, so then you have to perceive that there is a dignity that comes from that, and therefore you're acting in denial of that even without a command. Betrayal of the truth the pasuk is saying. Hirsch's commentary has a slightly different spin on this, similar to the Torah Tumimah. It says that, according to Rabbi Akiva, the biggest problem in the world that's going to lead to all the misdeeds is egoism. If you're focused only on your own self and you don't care about others, so that's going to lead to all kinds of misbehavior, and that's why we need to say, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And Ben Azai thought that there's more to it also, that people need to understand that everyone is created at the Tzelem Elokim, and that there's a basic human dignity, and that we all come from God, and that that's the crucial perspective in order to understand this. And there's more also. Some point, Midrashim point out that the idea of Zaseh for Tobos Adam is meant to convey that the Sefer is the Sefer Torah, that the Torah could have been given to Adam HaRishon, but then he sinned and he lost that slot, so instead it goes to the Toldos Adam, it goes to the descendants of Adam. It's going to be a delayed process because he slipped away from his potential. Okay, but the Pasuk also emphasizes here B'tmus Elokim, that the man is created in the image of God. And among the Rishonim, if you look, just to mention a quick survey, there are many, many Pshatim on what that means. According to Rasajagon, it means that he was a ruler. According to Ransom ben Aziel, it means he's created in the image of God. According to Ibn Ezra, it focuses on the fact that Adam Rishon didn't have human parents, supposed that one came after. The Radak writes that he had an exalted, elevated soul like an angel. Sforno understands this refers to free will. Yeah, Barbanel writes that it means that he was created Shalim on the day that he was born. And others suggest that it refers to the fact that he could have been immortal had he not sinned. So there's many different interpretations on this phrase of B'tmus Elokim, what exactly is meant to suggest. So there's a lot more hiding in these psukim than maybe we would have guessed upon looking at them. Those who had a chance to look at them this morning. This next pasuk also, Zachar Nekeva of Ra'am, Vayivarech Osam, Vayikra es Shemam Adam, Biyom Hi Baram. So here it seems to be a little bit of back and forth that humanity was created male and female, and God blessed them and called their name Adam on the day they were created. So was Adam created by himself? Was Adam and Chava each created? See differing implications here. The Gemara suggests that the difference between God's original plan and what actually happened, that maybe Adam was originally created as a dual figure with two faces. There's a lot of commentary as to what exactly is suggested by this phrasing. But there's also the idea that we mentioned a little bit earlier in the year, that a person is considered to be incomplete when they're not married. So Rav Olba has a little bit of a discussion about this, about the idea of Vayikra as Shemam Adam, that a person is called Adam when he is together with his wife, when they are one unit, and maybe that's one of the messages that this pasuk is conveying. The Simchus Lebroi, the Sefer Sonderach, notes also that Adam is the one who really names everything around him, except for three exceptions. You see here, Adam is named by God. God also names Yom Delilah, the beginning of the parasha, the beginning of the Torah, and also Shemayim Baretz. So he suggests that this represents basically the building blocks of everything. Time and place and humanity, those are all named by God. And then everything else Adlam takes over in terms of the name. Okay. So now, to continue the mystery of these psukim, so this next pasuk might be even more mysterious. So the pasuk says, Vayechi Adam Shloshu Mas Shana, Vayole Vitmuso Kitzalmo, Vayikre Shmo Sheis. So Adam lived for 130 years at that point, and then he had children who were in his own image. And he called his next son Sheis. So there is a very spooky comment in the Gemara Maseches Eruvin about Yuches of the days. It's interesting that this parsha is read this weekend when there is a certain non-Jewish holiday being observed. So whatever the theme of that holiday is, so we got there first, because the Kriyas HaTorah for this weekend has this pasuk. So the Gemara in Eruvin says that here Adam had children who were in his image. What does that mean to exclude? It means that until now, during the time that he was in Cherim after the Chait, so he had children who were not in his image, children who were Shejin, who were Ruchos. He apparently was giving birth to demons and ghosts and spirits. So we've already staked out this weekend as a time for ghosts and demons. And there's a lot of discussion what exactly that means. The Rambam and the Moreh Ruchim understands it to mean that he had children who were humanoid, but didn't have full das, were not given full intellect by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And others understand it more conventionally. There's a lengthy discussion to learn more welcome. Supplements you're reading for the Parsha over Shabbos, the Ramban talks about this at length in his commentary to Vayikra, Eric Zion, Pasuk Zion. And there's a lot of discussion what exactly is the way to perceive shape of the demons. You can also guess that this is a part of the discussion in terms of evolution, in terms of the creation of the world as described here. So some of the theories as far as different forms of humanity that don't necessarily correspond to the humanity that we perceive today. So this Gemara and this Pasuk are involved in that discussion as well, that essentially Adam HaRishon was involved in also creating other types of humanoid creatures who may not necessarily have the full status of humans today. Okay, so then the next Pasuk tells us, Vayu Yimei Adam Achrei Holido Esheis, Shmona Meo Shana, Vayovar Banim Banos. So after that, he managed to live another 800 years, and he had many children. He had many sons and daughters. So here we get this first taste of people living ridiculously long periods of time that we're going to be seeing here. And there is, in general, a machlokas among Yerushalmi about this, that the Rambam and Aron Ruchim, Rambam writes that there was only certain Yechidim who lived such long lives. And the Ramban understood differently. The Ramban understood that until the Mabul, there were many people who had very, very long lives, and things changed after that. It's like we talk about life expectancy today, so we know the life expectancy today is so much higher than it was even in the beginning of the 20th century, even 100 years ago. Life expectancy is much, much, much higher, but it doesn't affect the Yechidim, that there are people who are 110 today, and there are people who have been 110 hundreds of years ago, people who have always lived very, very long lives. It's just that the average was brought way down because of all kinds of medical problems and people who have much shorter lives. So that's essentially the question. So when you have lives of 800, 900 years, so was that the life expectancy? Was that basically the average where people live? That's how the Ramban understood. Or are these the outliers, and that's what the Rambam understood, and the life expectancy still maybe would be more comparable to what it was today, but there were still outliers who were at the extreme. Okay, there's a lot of commentary on the next pasuk. The next pasuk has a somewhat strange phrasing, that you call me Adam Asher Chai, Shami El Shano, Shoshim Shana V'Yamos. So, when I add it all up, so all the years of Adam, now we're 930 years, right? We just saw that he was 130 years when he had Sheis and lived another 800 years, so Tzach HaKol is 930 years, and then he dies. So what's the language Asher Chai? What's that there for? All the years that he lived. So the Mefarshim struggle with this. Some say it's a reference to the fact that there's a difference between existing and living. We can be alive a certain amount of time, but not actually living in the full sense of the word. It's to highlight that Adam had an eventful life. He was living in the consistent sense of the word. Others suggest that maybe this is a reference to another idea that we find in Chazal. You're probably familiar, that it goes back to the idea of the Sefer Toldos Adam, that when Adam was shown all of humanity and all the leaders, so he was told about this person, David, that David was only going to live a few hours. So he felt bad about that. So he asked God, how many years am I supposed to live? And God said he's going to live 1,000 years. So Adam said, okay, 1,000, I could spare 70. So I will give 70 years to David so he could live and he could write to him and he could rule by his own and he could accomplish all these wonderful things. So maybe the idea is you're supposed to have 1,000 years, but the years Asher Chai, the years he actually lived, were 930. Okay. So there's a lot of commentary in terms of how to translate that. So now the next few psukim, you might think there's not so much to say about because it's just the reading names, but there is more than that. Then Hirsch, Kedarka B'Kodesh, Hashem Shemafal Hirsch, has a running commentary on these names, and he assumes that the names represent themes of the generation. And it's a little hard to follow because it doesn't go in a straight line, and that's a part of his point, that as we transition from Adam towards the era of Noah, there's a lot of zigzagging, there's a lot of self-correction, and there's a lot of back and forth in terms of how the generations focused or didn't focus. So first you have Enosh, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Vav, Vayechi Sheis, Hamei Shana, Ramat Shana, Vayolad, it's Enosh. So what is Enosh? Enosh is a negative term. Enosh means hopeless. And the Hirsch understands that that was a time when people started to forget, started to move away from the dignity of mankind, and that was going to have bad implications. That was going to impact on people's behavior. So what is that impact? So then you read what comes next. So Sheish dies. Vayechi Enosh Tishim Shana Vayolad Es Kena. So what is Canaan? So Canaan sounds like Kenyan. Sorry? Oh yeah, it's not the English for Canaan. But it sounds like Kenyan, which I guess you could say is a little synergistic. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what Kenyan is. And this little anti-synergy in this interpretation, because we spent time trying to establish that Kenyan doesn't have to be materialistic. It can be spiritual and romantic as well. But here he suggests that the reference is to materialism, that once they had moved away from the spirituality of Adam Rishon, and that's what Enosh had represented, so now they're the focus more on materialism. So that clearly has its problems. So what comes next? Vayechi Enosh, Achrei Holido, Eskeno, Chamesh Asher Eshana, Ushmor Meashana, Yolo, Bamavanos, and they showed me from Enosh, Chameshana, So Enosh has Enosh lives 905 years. He dies. What's next? Vayhi Kenan Shivim Shana Vayoledes Mahalala. So Mahalala sounds good, right? What does that mean? Praise God. But here, Hirsch has does an interesting spin on everything. So he says it's a superficial type of praising God. There are people have taken the path of materialism and they're kind of lost spiritually. So then they turn to this piety where they're praising God, but it doesn't have any real substance to it. It doesn't have any real meaning. So again, there's kind of a theme of zigzagging here. You're trying to find your footing and you're going back and forth. So okay, you forget about spirituality, you get involved in materialism, but then you don't want to totally be left out of things, so you start praising God. But that's not enough. So what happens? Vayichim halal el chame yishanim v'shishim shanim v'yolad es yored. So what does yored mean? You read the generation that sinks, the generation goes down, and that's the result of all this. So vayichim halal el achrei halido es yored shloshim shanim v'shmonim v'yol shana v'yolad bar mavanos, you have many children. Vayu kol yimei mahalal el chameis v'shishim shanim v'shmonim v'yol shana v'yamos vayichim Yeret Shimazray, sorry, Shem, Ashayim, Rishishim, Shana, Mas, Shana, Vayogres, Chanoch. Okay, so what is Chanoch? So Chanoch is Chinoch. Education. Sounds good, right? Wrong. Because now that they have descended, so they're seeking education, but the education is only for the elites. And it's not for the masses. So some people are able to be lifted up, but most people are abandoned. So where do you see that? So vayichyered after halido aschanoch shmona meir shana v'yolad ban levanos vayikoyim vayyered shdayim v'shishim shana v'shasham meir shana v'yamos vayichyechanoch hamesh v'shishim shana v'yolad es misu shalach. Of course, is famous for symbolizing extreme old age. But what does his name mean? Do you want to take a stab on that, what his name means? It's not so easy to guess.
Sent.
Yes. So, sort of, sent away the people you treat like they're dead. Essentially, how Rav Hirsch understands it, it's, and he goes at some length here to say that it means to abandon the masses. That's the idea. That mason or how you view these people, that they don't have any yikium, and shalach, you sent them away, and you don't care about them. And that's the next stage, that after there is this educational phase, so the education is only for the elite, and the whole mindset of the intellectual snobbery, that they don't care about the masses. So that's a bad thing, and that kind of sets the stage, as you can imagine. He doesn't really get into this so much, but this really kind of sets the stage for Noah. Right? So Noah, we know the whole theme and all the ambiguity that we'll have about Noah. But Noah was exotic, he wasn't exotic, he was good, he wasn't so good. So he was good for himself, maybe he wasn't so good for everyone else. So that theme kind of flows from this, that was the atmosphere at that time, that there were people who were educated, but it wasn't enough of a focus on worrying about everybody else. So, again, it's very hard to follow because it's a whole zigzag and everything you think is good turns out to be bad for some reason. But basically, just to chazer that path. So we have Enosh, which is the attitude of hopelessness and abandoning the dignity of humanity, going to Kenan, which is Kenyan, which is a focus on materialism, and then goes to Mahalo, which is praising God in a superficial way. A reaction to all that materialism, but that's not enough, so that gets you to Yered, which is a descent, and that descent causes more of a search for something, which brings you to Chinuch and education, but the education is only for the elite, which is the mentality of Sushalach, that people are abandoned and only a select few are able to lift themselves up. Hi.
Is there first actually think? Like, is he talking in some shot, or is this like a little bit of Jewish? Because like it seems to be that we all had positive, more positive views on certain individuals.
Well, so we'll get to your Tarbach Hanoch. Because he's a mysterious figure too. Everything that's in Aliyah is very mysterious. So we're going to get up to he's the last pasuk of Aliyah.
I think also but,
so he also says at the beginning, he doesn't necessarily talk about whether he's saying this Alpi Drush or not, but he's saying this doesn't necessarily reflect the character of the individuals. This is more about the generation, that the names represent the whole mindset of the generation. The individual who happens to bear the name may or may not reflect that. And he doesn't think, also he writes, but he doesn't think this is necessarily Ruach HaKodesh, part of the parents. This was a statement about where things were holding in the world. So what about Hanoch? This last pasuk is very, very mysterious. And has a lot to comment. It's just like a Rashi. Right? There's a lot that's very mysterious about this last pasuk. So let's do that. It's like a Rashi also. last pasuk says that you have Vayishal Echanoch Es HaElokim Veinenu Kilakach Eso Elokim. So Chanoch walked with God, and then he wasn't because God took him. So how would you read that? What does that sound like? Chanoch's good, bad, what? How do you understand the whole thrust of that pasuk? So it's a little bit ambiguous. Sounds like he was a tzaddik, he walked with God. Rashi here says that he was taken lefiz mano. And there are also sources in Chazal that say that he was taken because he had a tendency to slip back into sin. That basically he was a tzaddik, but he was not firmly committed, so God took him away from this earth before he could lose his status. On the other hand, you also have sources in Tarim Yonason, and Tosfos in Kulin, and Daf Samach and Aleph, and Tosfos in Yavamis, and Daf Zayin in Beis, that say that he became an angel, he became the Tatron. So, which is it? So, first of all, those conflicting sources in Chazal and Rishonim, or are those all one idea? So, some of the later Svarim, they understand these as conflicting sources. There's Nayim Torah, he discusses it in that kind of descent, but basically there are conflicting sources in Chazal. And he also suggests that maybe Adam HaRishon was the first person ever to die. And people got freaked out when that happened. So Chanoch was basically brought up kind of alive to show that there is a Olam Haba, to show that there is something after this. That was one suggestion. Sar Shalom of Belz, Shalom of Belz is quoted in a lot of Chassidish Sfarim. So he understands that God wanted to take Chanoch up to Shemayim alive, but Chanoch was a tzaddik, so God didn't do anything against his will, even though it was God's will. So he made him first have this fear of stumbling, of sinning, so that he would agree, that he would consent to be taken up. And the idea of him being taken up and made into an angel is that God basically wanted to designate an angel to be Lamed Zchus on humanity, to have a human being who was up there in an angelic form would be a Lamed Zchus for people. Part of the whole question here is that if the idea is Chanoch is like the holiest person ever, and that's why he's brought up as an angel, so why do we look up to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? Why don't we look up to Chanoch as our founding father? So perhaps, this is the point that Sandera, which Simchus Lebroi talks about, that maybe this doesn't represent such perfection. Maybe this represents, yes, a certain perfection in practice, but because he was very fragile, and therefore like angels, so he ascended to a state where he had no Bechira Chavshis. But as human beings, we look to people who handle Misyonos, and therefore Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they're our role models, and as angelic, literally, as Chanoch may have been, that's not what we're looking to, and that's not the founder of our nation. That's not our role model. And along those lines also, Rav Hirsch, to go back to his point, so Rav Hirsch's point about the masses, Rav Hirsch understands that this was, again, a problem, that maybe Chanoch was a big tzaddik, but he was a tzaddik only for himself. And that's what Pasuk is telling us, that he walked with God, which was great, but what about human beings? He didn't have any connection to anyone else, so therefore he gets removed from human society and taken straight up to brought straight up to Kadosh Baruch Hu to be with him, as opposed to humanity. So it's a certain level of perfection, but it's not necessarily what we're looking for, and that's the issue that we're going to have with Noah. Rav Hirsch doesn't mention this here, but just to show how the Sifnit he has constantly. So you may have heard when he talks about Avram's tefillah for stone, and he asks for 10 tzaddikim besocha here. So Rav Hirsch has a comment there also that the tzaddikim have to be besocha here, they have to be people who are actually involved with the people Otherwise, it's not going to have any significance. It's not what we're looking for. Okay, so just to end with one more about this. Hi.
What does it mean that he was like so great with Hashem? Like, he had the most modern metro? Like,
yeah, it could mean something like that. It meant that he was a tzaddik in his own personal spirituality. He was very pure. He never did anything wrong. But he never had any impact on anyone else. He never...
The mice of what he did. Like, there was no
He never sinned. He never contemplated God all day. He pursued his own personal spirituality, whatever form that was. And the idea of trying to influence anyone else was not a part of his game plan. So that's very nice. You're so spiritual and angelic. And maybe that's literally what an angel is, but that's not what we believe in. Human leadership. And maybe these midrashim are not necessarily arguing with each other. So there's a lot to say about whether these ideas in Chazal and Rishonim, are they conflicting? Are they all part of one idea? That's a discussion. There's also a lot of interpretation in the Medrash Talpios, which says that he was a shoemaker. Chanuch was a shoemaker, and that with every stitch, with every tefira, he would be miyachid yichudim. So what does that mean? So the Pinkus has a little discussion about this, where he quotes a word that he heard from the Shmuel Fartkover, where he says that in terms of this idea of being miyachid yichudim, it says the Hasidim read that as the shame yichud, and he was designating every action to God, while the Misnagdim and the Baal Mitzvah, we read this more as making sure that nothing was from Gezel, that nothing was stolen. He'd be very careful about every item that he had. And that Shmuel Fartkover, I don't see exactly how he reads this in the words, but that while he was doing this, he had an attitude that was different than people generally have towards their jobs. People identify themselves by their jobs. They do this, they do that, that's what they are. But really, a person should be perceived as an Obed Hashem, and the job is something that they do as part of their life. It's not what identifies them. And that this idea of being Miyachid Yehudim is that even as he was doing this job, he was recognizing his role as somebody who was together with God and somebody who wasn't defining himself by his daily labor. So in any event, many interpretations, as we see, about just about every pasuk in the Saliyah, despite the fact that it seems like it's just a list of names, there's a lot to be said here, and it's really part of the theme of this entire Bereishis, and the Saliyah does start with this pasuk, which is a good slogan for the whole Sefer, perhaps the whole Sefer Torah. That Sefer told us of, and again, that the whole Torah is our history, is our creation, is our blueprint, is what manifests itself in every generation, and it's a part of the whole question that is asked at the very beginning of the Torah: why do we need the story of humanity before getting to the mitzvos? Why don't we just go straight to the mitzvos? So this is Aliyah represents part of this whole theme, that the creation of humanity, the creation of people with dignity, the image of God, with a mission, with a long-term plan, with the ups and downs in history, all of that is a part of what the Torah is conveying, and it's a part of the deep fascination and mystery of Parshas Bereishis. Hi.
If that being said with Eilat Hovah, so why wouldn't the stories of Gan Eden and Gan killing Heaven, why wouldn't that be in the Hovah?
So some of the first ones address that, you know, that it's all Kodem Lachet, so including Cain and Hevel, all the downfall of man. So here we're now focusing on the charge of man to have a long-term history. So Adam's downfall and Tshuva has to be before this, and Cain and Hevel also don't have Tolos. They don't have Tolos that are a part of...
Oh, so we're focusing on Shays.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying from the line of Shays, this is now the future of the world. Everyone now is a descendant of Noah, a descendant of Shays. We're not getting towards that. Okay, and Shikoach.